My Bible. I am
what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do. Now say, I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, all right. I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of connection. Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the first verse. I want to talk to you about the power of connection. Before I actually teach, or before I quote this verse, I want to make a statement that I believe that every person needs a pastor. You got it? Every person. Now, I am a pastor, but I have a pastor. I have a man of God that is over my life, and I believe that it's so vitally important that we're all, that we all have someone in our lives who has a spiritual authority on our lives, that can speak into our lives, that can help us, that can guide us, that can give us the wisdom that we need, and those kind of things. And then there's power in connection, because honestly, when you connect to the right people in your life, it makes your life better. How many know that? Just when you connect to the right people, it just makes your life better. Genesis, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." He says, now, matter of fact, let's go back up to the top. "Now the Lord said unto who, class?"
Abram.
All right. So he said unto Abram. Now, verse 2, he keeps talking to Abram, says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee." That word bless means empower to prosper. "So I will prosper thee and make that name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." So he says, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you a great name, but I'm not just doing that for you. I'm doing that so you can be a blessing to others. And so he says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Watch this now. So that sounds pretty good, right? So Abraham departed, or I like to say he obeyed God. Everybody say obey God. So Abraham departed, or obeyed God, watch this, as the Lord has spoken unto him. Watch this next part. Now, behind the word him, what's that? No, not the and. What's between the him and the am? That's a semicolon? Okay. What's that mean? It's not done. It means pause, right? So God, I think I messed y'all up on the semicolon. I didn't mean to go that far. Everybody says stay with us. Y'all like, is there a catch? No. All right. So, you know, sometimes I ask because I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? So, all right. So God speaks to Abram, tells him, it's not the will of God for you to be here. You know, I want to send you somewhere. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to make your name great. You are going to be a blessing. Abraham obeys and departs, but watch what happens. The Bible says, and Lot went with him. So my only question is, did God say anything to Lot?
No.
Did God tell Lot he was going to prosper him? Did God tell Lot he was going to make his name great? Did God tell Lot that he was going to be a blessing to anybody? So everything was what was given to Abram, the Bible says, but Lot went with him. Now, y'all know that anytime I teach the word, I have my own sanctified imagination. You understand what I'm saying? I can't help it. Like, it's not something I even try to do. So I'm reading this yesterday, right? And I see, like, God over there talking to Abraham. And I just, like, see Lot just kind of like, you know how, like, people nosy, you know, they just want to know what they say. I just see, like, that's what I see. I see Lot, like, you know, like, man, what they having a conversation about? You know, and he's kind of looking like, oh, he going to do all that? I'm not staying here. I'm going with Abram, right? Right? So he goes with Abram. Go down to Genesis, the 13th chapter. So it's the next chapter over. And let's watch what happens in verse 2. Let's watch what happens. So he obeys God, and Abram was what? Very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold, right? Okay, so that should happen because God said it was going to happen, right? So now watch what happens in verse 5. And Lot also, the one that God didn't talk to, went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. So now, watch this now, we see this power of connection that God speaks to Abram. God tells Abram all the things he's going to do, gives him this vision, and now Lot says, I like that vision. I'm going to connect to that vision. And now the result is not only does Abram get blessed, but Lot gets blessed also. It's the power of connection, right? All right, so now, let's go to Philippians, the first chapter. Let's bring it, that's, you know, I know that's Old Testament. Okay, so let's bring it into New Testament. For Philippians 1 and 3, the Apostle Paul is talking to those who had partnered with him in ministry, and he says, I thank my God, and this is the way I feel about you guys. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and I know that is my testimony, that every time I think about WLCC and the amazing people, I always thank God just for the privilege to do what I do. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel, watch this, from the first day until now. So there's a relationship there. There's a connection there. He says that I'm confident of this very thing, that he, who is God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he says, I know that God has started something in you, and I know that God is going to complete it in your life. Verse 7 says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds, because you remember, but he would write letters back and forth to his partners even when he was in jail and those kind of things. He says, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, he says, you are all partakers of my grace. And so he's talking to those that are connected to him, and he says, hey, there's a grace that's on my life, and because you're connected to me, you got it. The same grace that's available, that's on me, is available to you. I learned this principle of being a partaker of another man's grace and the power of connection years ago, and it absolutely changed my life. The average person, the average believer, discounts the importance of having a pastor in their life. The average believer, they just look at church. Y'all just go to Sunday, so I'm going to go to church real quick. And not understanding the importance of making sure that you cultivate a relationship with God, that you find a good church home, because those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish, and making sure that you have good spiritual authority over your life, because Hebrews 6 and 12 teaches us that we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Everybody say, you need a pastor in your life. Yes. All right, now look to the person to the left and just tell them, you need a pastor in your life. Yes. Now look to the person to the right and tell them, you need a pastor in your life. Because we understand that Elisha would have never been the man he was without Elijah. Joshua would have never been the man he was without Moses. Timothy, I think I need to buy me an amen corner. Timothy would have, y'all are so quiet this morning. Timothy would have never been the man he was without Paul. And you won't be the person that God has called you to be without a pastor in your life. Does that make sense? All right. You know, it's kind of funny because people that don't know me, they think I'm an overnight success. And I tell them it was a long night. Most people don't know what you go through to get to where you are. Served my pastor faithfully for years on top of years, and I learned the principle that if I would just serve, I served him, I would sow, and I was settled. If I would do those three things along with sacrifice, that I would see God do absolutely amazing things in my life. And you've heard me kind of tell my story, and so I'm not going to get all into it, but you know, when I was coming into Marine Corps in 1995, went to boot camp, then they sent me to Jacksonville, Camp Lejeune. One of the first things I did was I found the church. You know, I heard about this church on Piney Green Road at the time, Word of Life. And I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good and that kind of thing. And so, you know, I went and it absolutely changed my life. And I believe that part of why I am where I am today is because even when I left home and got on my own, I understood that I should do the same thing. Watch this now. Your kids typically are going to do the same thing that you taught them to do when they're home when they leave. Does that make sense? So what happens is when I leave home, I'm like, no, I need to get, you know, into a good church. And so I got into a good church, you know, and I was excited about it. And, you know, I served. The way I got a key to the church, because I never asked for a key, but I was always early, like just always early. I mean, I would come to church an hour early all the time. We even had Sunday night service back then. Y'all don't know anything about Sunday night service, all right? And so, y'all like, praise the Lord, you know. But anyways, we had Sunday night service back in those times. And so I would get to, I'd get to church early, even in, you know, in those days. And I remember my pastor pulls up and he gets out of his car. He had to drove a Cadillac at that time. And he says, well, we might as well give you a key because you always get here before everybody, you know. And he get, you know, and I didn't know what to do that next week when I came, you know, with the key. So what I did was I would just go look around, see if the bathrooms needed to be freshened up, you know, just see if the, you know, anybody tracked in some grass and vacuum and those kind of things. I just have this mindset that if I would serve God and if I would be faithful to him and I would, you know, be faithful to my local church, that God would bless me, because that's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us, amen. The Bible teaches us that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. The Bible teaches us that a faithful man or woman, as the case may be, will abound with blessings. And so I served my pastor faithfully. I can say that, not just when he's not with me, but I can say that in his presence, and he will be like, oh, no, he's telling the truth, you know. And there was not many times that my pastor was gone, but when he would be gone on a Sunday, he'd give me the opportunity to teach. You got it? When he was gone, we always did things the exact same way. I didn't get up there like I was some renegade and we're going to change everything. You know how people can do, you know, they get a little bit of, you know, influence from somebody and then their head blows up and they think they're the next T.D. Jakes. You understand? So, you know, but no, I just remember getting up years ago, even at that time, say, hey, let's celebrate our man and woman of God. They're gone. And I would tell them everything today is going to happen just as if Pastor was here. I would always do those kind of things because I learned this principle. You know, I didn't try to make something happened for me because he wasn't there. I learned a long time ago that if you make a blessing, you will miss a blessing, and the one you miss will be greater than the one you made. I'm going to say it again. If you make a blessing, you will miss a blessing, and the one you miss will be greater than the one you made, because what happens is you can never be God and him blessing you, so don't try to bless yourself. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about this. You can go to Jeremiah 3 and 15. A lot of people have a misguided expectation of what the pastor is supposed to do and be in their lives. A lot of times, you know, people have this misguided expectation. At the end of the day, as a pastor, it is my job to teach the word, to live the word, and to love the people. Everybody say, teach the word, live the word, love the people. All right, let's do it one more time. Everybody say, teach the word, live the word, love the people. That is my job. Jeremiah 31 and 5 says, and I will give you pastors according to my own heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So it is my job to make sure that I teach the word, that I teach it in a simplistic manner so you can understand it. So as soon as you walk out of here, you can apply it in your life right away. That's my job. It is my job to live out this word so you can see an example, not just in the word of God, and we should see examples in the word of God, but in this present day that I've got a man and woman of God that are living by faith and they're getting results, and God is no respecter of persons. However, he is a respecter of faith, and watch this, and I can get the same results they get if I'll apply the word in my life the way they do. Does that make sense? You got it? And then to love the people. You got it? And so, and I absolutely love you guys. I mean, absolutely, hands down, you know, no doubt about it. You know, I do real good, you know, the older I get, because, you know, I'd say, you know, I'd fight for you. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm trying not to fight. You understand what I'm saying? I'm 42 now. I don't want to, you know, I want to stay clean. Praise the Lord. All right. So that is the first part. The power of connection, all right? And so now let me jump into this second part. I've already been receiving, you know, birthday cards and gifts and cash apps. And, you know, thank you to everyone who does anything for me, because you are in no way required to do anything for me. So if you do something for me, that's just because you love me, and I appreciate that. I was really overwhelmed yesterday as I started to read some different notes of gratitude and cards and stuff that some people gave me, just because of the connection that we have with them. them. And some of the things that I repeatedly read in the different cards is, you know, you impacted my life, my family, you know, my marriage, my kids in a way that I did not know was possible. You read that one time, you're like, oh, praise the Lord. You read it 6, 12, 15 times, you're like, okay, praise the Lord. You know, and so I started thinking yesterday, I was like overwhelmed. I was sitting there, you know, and I was supposed to be, you know, studying for my lesson, but those cards were there. And I said, well, let me just, I like cards. You know, some people, they just open the card to look for the, you already know, you understand? And we appreciate if there's money in the card, you understand? But I love cards. Like, I read the cards, and, you know, especially if you're going to write personal notes and that, I just do that kind of thing. And so I started, I was home alone because I think Jay had went to go see the Avengers Endgame. Anybody saw that yet? Okay, don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about it, all right? and then Lady and Hannah, they went shopping. You know, Hannah's 13 now, so she thinks she needs to go buy teenager clothes, you understand? And so she has her first pair of wedge sandals. You got it? Huh? Okay. Well, it's the first ones that I know about anyways. Okay. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. If she has some other ones, I don't know about it anyways. You know, and so I'm talking to my best friend, Pastor Connor, on the phone outside. And so she just comes walking outside. I'm like, why is Hannah like, why? She's like walking outside. And I notice she has these shoes on, right? These sandals that has this like high wedge. And so I was like, oh, baby, I'm on the phone. But she's fine. She walks, and then I noticed that she has them on. So I said, oh, I said, Evan, hang on, man. And so I stopped. I said, I see you, girl. I said, you look cute in them little wedges. And then I told her, now put them in the closet till you turn 21. And so I'm home alone, you know, they're doing all that. I'm supposed to be studying and those kind of things, but I really got overwhelmed by just the cards and the different things, and my Cash App was going off. But really the things that people write, you got it, was really, you know, got to me. And so I was like, God, how did this even all happen? Like, we came to New Bern, how many years ago? Almost 12 years ago. Nobody. I mean, me, my wife, my brother and his wife. You got it, and our kids. You just, you know, and just have one word from God. And, like, how did all this happen? You got it. How did all these people come? And how do we build? We have an incredible church. Now, you know what makes a great church, right? Great people. That's what makes a great church. When people come and they say, man, I like that vision. I want to get involved in that vision. You got it. It seems like an amazing thing. That's what makes a great church. You know, and so I said, you know, God, how did we get here? It's because I'm not, you know, I'm not like the guy that's like, me. I want to be the one. Like, before we came to New Bern, the pastor, like, we was okay. Like, we was doing good, had our own businesses, you got it, just making loads and loads on top of loads, on top of loads, you got it, of money. So we was great. Like, we wasn't looking to come to New Bern. You understand what I'm saying? But how many know it was God's plan for our lives? And so, and so, you know, ultimately, I began to talk to God. He began to share some things with me that I'm going to share with you today. And so I realized that the reason so many people are coming and being impacted is because they see something on our lives. I say our lives, Lady LaConte and myself, because we pastor this church together, that they see something that is on our lives that they're attracted to. All right. And so now I want to shift this thing and turn it about from being about me, you got to ask the pastor, to being about you. So today I want to give you, in my next few minutes that I have left, I want to give you a little bit of wisdom in this area as it relates to how I carry myself on a daily basis that I hope you will strive for your life as well. Does that sound good? Because let me tell you, whether you realize it or not, somebody's watching you. Whether you realize somebody is watching, it could be a child that's watching you, it could be a spouse that's watching you, it could be a neighbor that's watching you, it could be a coworker that's watching you, but somebody is watching you. You got it? And so there's just a few things, because this is just how the Holy Spirit gave it to me, so I'm just going to kind of give it to you. There are some things that the Holy Spirit showed me, like, son, because you do this and because you are like this, you know, that is why people are attracted to you. So I want you to put a spin on that thing, and I want you to teach the people so that they can be the same way. Does that make sense? All right. Did I give y'all points in the back? Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. All right, everybody say number one. All right, number one, the first thing that I want you to really learn to do in life is be consistent. Everybody say be consistent. How many know everybody needs consistency? It is the lack of consistency that causes chaos in our lives. All right. And so we need to be consistent. Truth be told, if you've been coming to our church for a while, you notice there's a lot of consistencies about our church. You know, you don't just come and you don't know, like, what's going to happen. Like, there's a lot of consistencies. Watch this, which makes you feel comfortable. Does that make sense? Okay, and so people need to know, you know, that you're always going to be the same, no matter what they're going through. Oh, y'all are quiet. No, it's okay, I ain't mad, I'm just saying y'all are quiet. No, because people need to be, because it's not the will of God for you to be sometimes up and sometimes down. Sometime almost, I'm not ever saying you won't have a tough day. I'm not talking about that. We're all human. We all go through things. We all have that day when I don't need one cup of coffee. I need 16 cups of coffee. You know, like, we all have that. But I'm saying, you know, on a normal basis, you got it. People need to know that you're going to be consistent, that you're going to be the same. Like, if you're married, you know, your spouse doesn't want to always wake up every day wondering which one are they going to see. You understand what I'm saying? Like there has to be some consistencies to lie, you know, in our life. I had a member who knew me long before I was pastor, who's a member of our church now. They knew me long before I was pastor, and they knew me long before I was in business. And, you know, God really did amazing things in my life. And they said a lot of really, really nice things about me, and I really appreciate it. I read it, and I think the most powerful thing that they said, and it was really long, but the most powerful thing that they said was, you know, I knew you before all of this, and the thing that I admire about you is that you never changed. And that is so powerful because, you know, I meet people that just get a new Cadillac and they think that, you know, the world revolves around them. You understand what I'm saying? But how many know it's so important to be consistent in life? And along with being consistent, just be you, because nobody can beat you at you just being you. Just be the best you that you can be. Don't try to be anybody else. Does that make sense? You know, when I first started this church, you know, of course, I love my father in the faith, you know, Apostle Hilliard, but I wasn't trying to be like him. I wasn't trying to be like T.D. Jakes. I wasn't trying to be like anybody else, because I realized that God has given me something specific for my life, and if I'm just me, that, watch this now, that God will draw the people for this ministry, and I'll be a blessing to you, not because I'm trying to be like somebody else, but I'm just trying to be myself. Does that make sense? So you got to learn how to just be you, you know, just be you, you know, and don't just be you here, but be you everywhere. You got it? Don't be you here, but then when you're at the job, you're somebody different. You know, be the same you everywhere. I go anywhere across the country, and everybody knows I'm going to be the same person. All right? So be consistent. All right, everybody say number two. All right, number two, what's it say, class? Be transparent. Be transparent. We are the most effective when we are the most transparent. We are the most effective when we are the most transparent. There are people waiting to hear your story of how God brought you from a bad place to a good place, because it gives them hope that he could do it for them. And so, you know, because sometimes people ask me, oh, you kind of tell all your business. No, because I understand that when I'm the most transparent, I'm the most effective, because there's probably somebody who went through what I went through. But because I was transparent and told them, yeah, I went through some crazy stuff, but God brought me out and I'm doing incredible, it gives them hope that God, because they're stuck and they need to know that somebody is going through something that I went through and that God brought them out. If he brought them out, he could bring me out too. Does that make sense? And so it gives them hope. And how many know people need hope? You know, we live in a day and time where this culture is just crazy, and the world is crazy. And so people need hope. And you might be the only light that someone knows. You got it? And so you have to be a light that shines, and that shines bright. All right. So number one, be consistent. Number two, be transparent. Everybody say number three. All right. What is it, class? Be what? What's that mean? Practical. That's a good answer, daughter. That's a good answer. All right. People need simplicity. Can I get a? Amen. That was an okay amen. People need simplicity. Can I get a? Amen. Quit trying to be deep, because you're only impressing yourself. Quit saying words you don't know how to spell. Amen. See, when I learned faith, when I first learned faith and how it worked and how to apply it in my life and I started getting results, I made a commitment. I'm going to teach everybody I know how to live a life of faith. I'm going to teach everybody I know how faith works. I'm going to teach them the mechanics of faith. I'm going to give them the ABCs of faith. So that way, when they walk out of these doors, I'm always available if you need to come see me, but you're going through something. It's not like you have to run to me for the answer. You already got the answer because you found it in the Word of God. Because you had a man of God that taught it to you with simplicity, so you know what to do. All right, so be practical. You know, you start doing good in life. You know, and someone says, "Hey, can I talk?" You say, "Yeah, how can I help you?" Say, "Listen, I've been looking at you, and I see how God's blessing you. You know, and then you just start, your shoulders start standing up. You know, and I was just wondering if you could just share with me a little bit of your wisdom. You know, and then your shoulders go back. You know, well, you see, it's quite complicated. Be practical." And remember, you weren't always where you are. And somebody had to help you get to where you are, that you're standing on the shoulders of somebody else that paved the way for you. So be practical. All right, number four, with a strong voice, what's number four?
Be humble.
Humility is the key to honor, is what the Bible teaches us. Always remember that it's never about you, but an opportunity for God to use you to make a difference in somebody's life. You got it? And so just be humble. And, you know, it's not hard to be humble. It's real easy to be humble. You got it? Always go out of your way to make sure someone feels comfortable and accepted in your group or in your circle or in the environment that you're in. One thing that I am, I'm a people magnet. I just love people. You got it. I don't care if I don't know you. I just talk to people. I just like people. And so I'm a traveler. Y'all know that. I travel all over the country. And so we were flying home recently, and we were getting checked in and all that kind of thing. And I could tell somebody didn't quite know what was going on. And then she had pre-check. She said, "Well, they said there's not a pre-check line over here, but you have to go to that gate." You know, so like, what should we do? And I could tell. So, you know, I'm just a people person. I said, "Hey, so what happens is there's no pre-check over here, but there's pre-check over here, which means you don't have to take your shoes off. You don't have to, you don't have to take your coat off. You don't have to pull your laptop or computer or anything of those kind of things." I said, "So listen, go that way. And when you go straight, just make a left. It's going to bring you right back around. You're going to be so glad you did it." You understand? And she's like, "Well, thank you." You know, she's like, "That guy's just the nicest guy." But why, if everybody would just be like that, the world would be a better place. Like, you have the information and won't give the information. Like, it don't hurt nobody. Did you know that it does not hurt to smile? Did you know it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? Okay, which brings me to my last point. What's my last point, class?
Be
what?
Loving.
Be loving. God loves everybody and paid an incredible price for everybody. You got it. He loves everybody, all right? And I think that that's kind of the problem with the culture that we live in. People would rather go at each other's throats and have cowardly attacks at each other on social media instead of learning the hard job of understanding each other and loving each other through their issues. Ooh, that was deep right there. That was deep right there. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. You know, why are you saved talking about my haters? Okay, I'm just going to look right down there. You got it? Like, I don't understand that. Like, why are we fighting one another? Why are we competing with one another? Why are we trying to compare ourselves to one another? Why is someone always trying to have to get the edge? You understand? The Bible says that two are better than one. So I just do okay by myself, but I do much better if I got somebody to help me. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we got to learn this concept. I need some chairs. No, I don't want you to bring it. So no. I just want a few chairs on the ends. You could even get them from the back if you want to. I just want a few chairs. Just bring me a few chairs. And then we're going to turn it around that way. You're right. That's perfect. Yeah, that's good. Thank you. Yeah, I just need a few chairs. You're going to stack them. Give me another one, Melvin, because no more brothers came. So just Give me another one, Joe. No other brothers came. Okay. All right, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay. Melvin got one. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right. All right, thanks. Y'all give them a big hand. I just need to move this just a little bit. Oh, no, I got it. I got it. Thank you, though. Yeah, I got it. I got it. Thank you. I'm good. Yeah, I got it. Appreciate it, though. Appreciate it. I got it. I said I got it! And that's how people are. Always trying to do everything on their own. Always trying to act like, I got it. I don't need no help. I don't need you to carry the bags. I carry my own bag. Because the last man that was with me, what happened when he carried that? Don't you understand that God is trying to put somebody in your life to help you so you don't have to do the hard work of trying to pick this up by yourself? And if you're a people magnet, I'll start attracting brothers from all over where I don't have to worry about trying to have the hard work of picking something up by myself. Because if I got to get it from here to over there, it ain't no problem because 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's good right there. Are better than one. Watch this. Watch this. But, yeah, y'all can have it. I didn't have to go put them away by myself. I didn't have to work hard. I didn't have to break a sweat. Why? Because teamwork makes the dream work. You ever met any mean Christians? They know all the scriptures. They know all the cliches. I'm blessed with the Lord and highly favored. And then somebody calls, hello? They know when to run. They know when to shout. They know the right cue on the organ. Dun, dun, dun. And they hear the... They know it all. They know how to impress the right people. They'll bypass you. They'll bypass you. They'll bypass you. But when they come in, hey, Pastor, God bless you. It's so good to see you today. Oh, I'm in somebody's Kool-Aid and know all the flavors. They know how to do all the right things on the outside, but got issues on the inside. Play something, Courtney, because we got to get up out of here. We might need to warm the car up. Oh, I have another service. And it don't cost anybody to show love. After all, that's what God did for you and for me. That he commended, he proved his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed the greatest love. Watch this, because he is love. Let's put 1 John 4, 7, and 8 on the screen. Did y'all get anything out of this lesson? Because I'm done. So, but I want to show you something. And do you know that we should be accountable to one another? If I see Melvin go off on KC, I shouldn't be like, ooh, I'm going to stay out of that. That's how we do. But we all family. That don't mean I got to go off on Melvin. But maybe I need to, you know, pull Melvin to the side and say, hey, man, everything okay? Say, yeah, I just got a lot going on, Pastor. Oh, okay, well, man, you probably didn't even notice. But the way you responded to him, you know, And then he's like, oh, man, I ain't realized, you know. Okay, ain't no problem. Just go get it right with your brother. And it's, watch this, it's the accountability factor that helps us not repeat and keep on repeating. Does that make sense? Beloved, that's y'all, let us love one another. I love KJV. For love is of God, and everyone, watch this, that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So when I love, I know God. Watch what verse 8 says. He that loveth knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. Let's go back to verse 7. Beloved, family, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. So now I understand, people can see that I have a relationship with God when I show love. You got it? And not only do I have a relationship with him, but I really know him. So beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is love. Last scripture, and then we're going to pray. Did y'all get blessed today? Matthew 22 and 36. So the disciples were sitting around like a lot of times they did when Jesus was between, you know, I like to say between revivals, you know, but, you know, just, you know, Jesus was always, I'm telling you, I just can't help it. That's just how I see Jesus, just like he did his thing. He just preached to 5,000. He done healed a whole bunch of folk and fed everybody KFC, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, Jesus and the boys are just, like, at the tent because they don't have hotels back then, you know? And they're like, teacher, master. Like, Jesus already preached for 4 hours. You understand what I'm saying? But they still have questions. They said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? I love Jesus. God, I love him. Jesus said unto him, that's easy. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, that you have to have a relationship with God where people can see that there's a God on the inside of you. Sometimes people say, there's something different about you. Or, you know, what we don't really realize is it's supposed to be the love of God that comes out of you. They might say it's your smile, or they might say it's how you treat me so nice, but really at the end of the day, it's the love of God. And so he says, that's the first and greatest commandment. But the one thing I love about God, the one thing I love about Jesus is he always gives you more than what you ask for. He says, and the second, now they only asked which was the first, but he understood the importance of making sure that he told them, and the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and on the prophets. In other words, if you can get these two down, everything else will fall in place. So this is the key to having a healthy balance in every area of your life, developing a relationship and an incredible love for God, and then loving others like you want to be loved. Never forget that everybody has value. Everybody. What did I say? You notice I didn't just say just Christians have value. Everybody. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Not that he loved the church, he loved the world. All right, so I gave you some be this, be that, be that, be that. I'm going to give you two nevers and I'm going to pray and we're going to go home. All right, these are not on the screen. All right, two nevers. If you're writing, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. Everybody say never. Never. Never lie to people. Give you my second never. Everybody say never. Never misuse people. Never lie to people and never misuse people. Never lie to people and never misuse people. Let me tell you the issue you're going to have if you start lying to people. One day they're going to find out the truth and then you're going to be in trouble. Never misuse people, because one day they're going to realize it. Heads are bowed. As it closes, believers are praying all over the building. Father, I thank you.